Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time, 8:05 Central, to Bible Crossfire, where we delve into what the Bible actually has to say about different religious issues. Only the truth will set us free from sin, John 8:32. 2 plus 2 can't equal 4 and 5 at the same time. Both answers can't be right. I had a caller on my March the 4th Bible Crossfire program accused me of legalism. What he meant by that term is that I was trying to follow God's law too strictly. Most of us should know inherently this accusation is absurd. We should inherently know that being legalistic with God's law is not a bad thing. What do you think God would want us to be? Illegal? Of course God wants us to obey His law in all aspects. John chapter 14, verse 15 reads, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Many people equate being legalistic with Phariseeism, but the Pharisees were never condemned for following God's law too strictly. Just the opposite. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verses 2 through 3, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works. For they say and do not." You see, the Pharisees were hypocrites. They would teach the right thing in many cases, but they did not practice what they preached. They say and do not. So the Pharisees were condemned for not obeying God's law. That's the very opposite of legalism. Actually, it's a good thing to follow God's law strictly, to the letter. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 23:23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done, and get this, and not to leave the other undone." So the Pharisees were indeed criticized for ignoring many weightier matters of the law. And so they were encouraged to start following those weightier matters, but not to ignore, they were told not to ignore the lighter or the smaller matters either. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call, 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open right now. We are instructed to follow all of God's New Testament laws, no matter how unimportant we might deem one of them to be. Such careful obedience is a matter of respecting God. You remember Ecclesiastes 12:13? "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." So a person that's respecting, fearing God will keep His commandments, according to that verse. If he's not keeping His commandments, then that shows that he doesn't have the proper amount of respect for God. Just like with our parents, when we disobeyed our parents, that was showing disrespect. When we disobey God, that shows disrespect for Him. So we want to follow all of God's laws, exactly as He has stated them, to show the utmost respect for Him. James chapter 2, verse 10 confirms this by saying, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offended one point, he is guilty of all." Jesus put it this way in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 20, "We are to," quote, "observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." That's what Jesus said. Not just the commands we deem important, but all things that Jesus has commanded. Do them all. Is that too much to ask by a God, a creator of His creation? That's not too much to ask. That's what we ought to try to do. That's not legalism. That's what loving God and respecting God is, trying to do everything He has said, God has said to do, exactly as He says to do it. And when we don't, that's showing an improper love, improper respect for God. The lines are wide open. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call, 877-655-6755. We've been talking about the New Testament law, but the same strictness was also expected under the old law. Matthew 5:18-19 says this, For Jesus is speaking. He says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle," those are the smallest pieces of letters, "one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus says this. In respect to the old law, about the Old Testament law, while it was still in effect. Don't even violate the least commandments. Not one jot or one tittle will pass. Not even one part of one letter will change. Obey it all. Obey even the least commandments. He's saying that about the Old Testament law while the Old Testament law was in effect. The same strictness that we've been reading about that goes with the New Testament law was also true under the Old Testament law. You know, I think we would realize this if we just understood that John 8:32 is saying that only the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we realize what that verse is saying, that only the truth will make us free, context says from sin. If we would realize that, then this would all fall into place. We would not think of legalism as being a bad thing. We would actually think of it as a good thing to try to be legal according to God's law in God's sight. And so we can never be too careful, based upon John 8:32, we can never be too careful in learning, obeying, and teaching the truth, because it's the thing that's going to make us free from sin. Just to show you illustrations of how careful that we ought to be, Jesus, in Matthew 22:32, made an argument for the truth of the resurrection just based upon the fact that a word was in the present tense. "I am the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac." I am, present tense, showing that they still existed even though they had died. The resurrection was true. He proved it based upon the fact that that word was in the present tense when God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. And Paul made an argument for the truth just based upon the fact that a word was singular, not plural, in Galatians 3:16. So if the inspired writers of the Bible made arguments based upon the fact that a word was singular or plural, present tense or past tense, that shows you just how careful we ought to be with God's word. George from Florida, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, I've got a real hot potato for you. 1 Timothy 2:12. And just to paraphrase a little segment, "I might not suffer a woman to teach." And we got some pretty good ones out there that have brought me closer to the Lord, given me some insight and understanding. And I say in the spirit of some of the Levitical laws that we don't adhere to, like touch the skin of a dead pig, so on and so forth. I don't understand, have they waned, or is that one where Paul was kind of a little bit off and maybe we shouldn't pay some attention on that one? Enlighten me, if you will.
All right, George, I don't think we should compare this to something in the Old Testament law like you're relating to, because we're not under the Old Testament law anymore. We're not under the Old Testament law. So we don't have to keep the law that said do the animal sacrifices or you can't eat pork or catfish. Those laws were binding upon the Jews back then. That was the law of Moses, the Old Testament law. Now we're under the New Testament law. So it's not like, well, the Bible says we're not to eat catfish, but we do it anyway. That's not right. The Old Testament law required that, prohibited that, but we're not under the Old Testament law anymore. You follow me so far, George?
I do.
Okay, but 1 Timothy 2:11-12 is a New Testament law. That makes it completely different. And now it reads in the King James this way. You paraphrased it well, George. It says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not." Now, the newer translations will say, "I allow not." "I suffer not," or "I allow not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Now, that's pretty clear, that women are not to teach over, being put in a position of teaching over a man. Like, let's say we were to have a Bible class. Maybe just for the sake of example, there were a dozen people in the class, including some men. Well, this passage would forbid the woman from being the teacher, the leader of that class. Do you follow what I'm saying, George? Because she's not to teach over a man.
Sort of. Maybe you could go on a little bit more if you can.
All right. I'm going to go on by reading another passage that's kind of similar to 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. And this one, George, is in 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35. There, God says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Now, George, I really can't think of any passage in the Bible that's more clear on any subject than this verse and how clear it is on the, quote, women preachers issue. It says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches. It is not permitted unto them to speak." And in verse 35, it says, "It's a shame for women to speak in the church." Now, it's not saying it's wrong for a woman to speak at Burger King. It's saying a wrong for a woman to speak in the church. Verse 23 sets the context for us. It says, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place." George, I assume you attend church. Do you attend church regularly somewhere?
I'm in between churches right now, but
okay.
Yeah.
Well, but you know when what happens when the whole church comes together into one place. They may be in different groups, like in the Sunday school groups, but maybe based on different ages and things like that, or the men may be in a class and the women may be in a class, different things like that. But maybe that starts at 9:45, but then maybe at 11, they all leave those Bible classes. The whole church comes together into one place. You know what I mean by that, right?
I do.
This says the women are to keep silence in that setting. They're not permitted to speak. A woman is a shame for women to speak in the church, is how this puts it. And so this is what we're talking about when we say women preachers. That's what we mean. That's what most people mean. When a person says they're opposed to women preachers, they don't mean that it's wrong for a woman to teach a ladies' Bible class or something like that. But they're opposed to a woman getting up, we might say, behind the pulpit. Or what we mean by that is in the church, when the whole church has come together in one place, and delivering the sermon, the lesson. This passage is very, very clear that that is forbidden. You follow what I'm saying, George?
I do, yeah.
Now, you started off by saying, well, maybe we don't practice that, but we ought to, George. Yes, most churches, most congregations, they completely ignore these two passages, the one you brought up in 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35. But if we love, as we've been talking about before, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments," Ecclesiastes 12:13. If we love God and we fear him, meaning we respect him like we ought to, George, we're going to do what he says, right?
Right.
When you disobeyed your dad when you were a boy, was that showing respect or disrespect?
Disrespect.
Yep. Both you and I got spankings for that, didn't we?
Oh, well, not from my dad, but yeah.
<Go on. laughs> Anyway, I'm just making the point that when we don't obey God, we're showing disrespect for him, just like when we didn't obey our parents, we show disrespect for them. And so if we want to show our love for God and show our respect for him, we're going to conform to these two passages, and we're not going to allow women, the church is not going to allow women to preach from the pulpit, for example. You got any follow-up, George?
Yeah, I'm PCA Presbyterian, so I'm pretty orthodox in that regard. I just had to bounce off. I went to a wedding once, and there was a female pastor, which, in my mind, put it this way, I called her a pastress, and I heard crickets. Nobody really appreciated that. But, anyway, I kind of feel like, it just doesn't settle with the word. And the word is not a smorgasbord. You can't pick and choose what you want to follow and not follow. But,
yeah.
I really had to, because there are other, and I won't mention any names, but there are some very popular female ministers, for lack of a better term, and basically they're strong in the word for the most part, except for that. And I do appreciate their teaching, and they've given me a lot of insight. So that's where I have a little bit of confusion, a little inner turmoil, if you will.
Well, George, what we really need to do You see, what I think has happened over the last several decades, it used to be a long time ago, George, all churches thought of the Bible as their guidebook. You know, a church was going to look at the Bible. If they're going to decide if they're going to allow women to preach from their pulpit, for example, they're going to look at the Bible and find out what it has to say. But that's gone away a long time ago. Most churches don't really consult the Bible like a guidebook. And so they decide whether or not they're going to allow women to preach from the pulpit based upon what they like or what they think is best or what will bring in the biggest crowds instead of what God actually says in His Word. Do you see how the times have been a-changing?
Well, and the norms of society, and they're kind of working that into the church, and that's not right either.
Yeah, the world is changing the church instead of the church changing the world, right?
Yes, sir. Exactly. Nail on the head right there. Yeah.
Hadn't we seen the same thing with homosexuality?
Yes, sir. Yeah. You have to accept it. You have to like it. LGBT, everybody has to, you know, pretty much follow along. And basically, I'm sorry. I'm not going to hate them. Or anything like that, but it's an abomination, and it's like
The world, the media, has been changing the church instead of the other way around like it ought to be. George, thank you for your call. Very good call. I'll tell you what I want you to do. Send me an email sometime this week. My email address is BibleCrossfire@email.com, and that way we can talk about the Bible further offline, off the radio program, just over email. How about that?
Yes, sir. I'll do my best. Thank you.
BibleCrossfire@email.com. Thanks for your call, George.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that goes for anybody else. I'd love to talk to anybody out there about the Bible. To your heart's content, the best way to reach me along those lines is BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Anytime during this week would be a good time to talk to me about the Bible. So what we're talking about until we got that call is legalism. Most people who are religious act like it's wrong to be a legalist with God's Word. But actually, legalism is a good thing when we're talking about trying to follow God's law strictly. We follow God's law strictly the best we can, as strictly as we can. Obey all of it if we can. Because we love and we respect God. That's why we do it. It's not a bad thing to be a legalist when you're talking about legally following the legalities of God's law strictly. He's our creator. He has the right to make the rules for us. And we ought to appreciate what He's done for us enough to follow His rules. Legalism, and I mean by that following God's law strictly, is a good thing, not a bad thing. You know, Jesus said as much in John 14:15. He says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." What that verse would be saying then is that as soon as we quit obeying God's commands, we quit being God's friend. As soon as we quit obeying Jesus' commands, we quit being Jesus' friend. "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." That's not that hard to understand. If you want to be a friend of God, you'll do what He commands. Being a legalist is someone who's trying as hard as he can to follow Jesus' commands exactly as He stated them, without change, without adding to it or taking away from it. You know, God condemned adding to and taking away from His Word in many places in the Bible. In one place, an example of it, Revelation 22:18-19, probably specifically talking about the book of Revelation, but the principle we can see from other places in the Bible. Here's how it's put in Revelation 22. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Do you see how that's an illustration or example of God saying, "Don't add to or take away from my word"? And that's what a lot of churches are doing today. They're adding to or taking away from it. They're teaching things that aren't in there, or they're ignoring things that are in there. That's not being a legalist. That's being illegal, doing things different than what God said, kind of like the Pharisees. Being a legalist is a good thing. Follow God's law because you love Him. That shouldn't be that hard to understand. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Just to show you how important it is that we follow God's law exactly as it's written, let's look at 2 John verse 9. Here's how that verse reads. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So we have what we call here the doctrine of Christ. I think some of the newer translations just say the teaching of Christ. In other words, what Christ taught. What Christ taught, not just in the red letters in your Bible, but what Christ taught while he was on earth, as far as New Testament law is concerned, and later, after he's gone, through his apostles. He told them while he was still on earth, John 16:13, the Holy Spirit will come after I'm gone, and he shall guide you into all the truth. And so, what did Jesus teach himself personally, and we're talking about New Testament law here, and through his apostles later, as it's revealed in the New Testament, we have to follow that. It says, if you don't abide in that teaching of Christ, you don't have God. And you can't be saved if you don't have God. So it's so important that we abide in the teaching of Christ. That would mean we have to be legalistic about it, because we're going to follow God's word to the letter. Because if we don't abide in the teaching of Christ, we don't have God. Another passage that might help us to see this is Matthew 15, verse 9. Jesus is talking there about the traditions of the scribes and the Pharisees. Again, they were not being legalistic with God's word. They were adding to God's word. They were teaching the commandments of men. And Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 9, he says, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So instead of teaching the commandments of God, they were teaching the commandments of men. And he says, because of this, their worship was in vain, which means useless, worthless. You can't go to heaven like that. That shows just how important it is that we follow the commandments of God legalistically, if you want to put it that way, not the commandments of men, because that will cause your worship of God to be in vain. Roger from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, good evening. I have a dear friend of mine. Her daughter is 29 years old. She's mentally disabled. She has the mental capacity of maybe a two-year-old. She can't say, like, "Mom, I'm hungry." She can say, "Eat," or something like that. Okay, she can't make a profession of faith. She's not going to let you baptize her, but she don't understand what's happening to her. Will she still go to heaven?
Yeah, Roger, I'm going to have to go off the air. Can you hang on the phone after the program is over? I have to go off the air in less than a minute. And we'll talk about this further. Roger, you still there?
Yeah.
Must have lost him. Well, let me say this.
I'm here.
We'll talk about this more when I have to go off the air. But I have four children. My youngest child has Down syndrome. And so he's not mentally capable. And the Bible makes it clear in a number of places that they're not responsible. They can't believe in Christ in the same way that we can. They don't have the capability to repent of their sins, so they're not held responsible. But now, of course, people are not like that, are responsible. We appreciate you listening, and hopefully we'll say more about that later. Be sure and listen next week at this same time. BibleCrossFire@email.com is my email address.